Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back. Football Monday on WGR. Always a pleasure to welcome Eric Wood to our broadcast every Monday afternoon. Eric, as you might, as you surely would guess or know, this one yesterday, Houston 23, Bills 20, has given us a lot to talk about, even sort of battle about, with how the game ended and just how it's possible that Josh Allen could have a 9-for-30 stat line. So, I don't know, Eric. I mean, it's early in the season. The Bills are still in first place. It was a close game, but man, there were some definite problems here. How bad are things?
You know, I don't think the sky is falling in Buffalo. And part of the reason is because you look around the division, you have a lot of confidence that, you know, we should be the best team in the AFC East. And, you know, but for me, the way these last 2 weeks have looked has been concerning. You're playing, you know, two better teams when, you know, you look at how the schedule unfolded. Those first three games weren't very difficult opponents. Then your last two, you really struggle, especially on the offensive side of the football. Defense struggled against Baltimore, but that's your undermanned side based upon injuries. And so you expect this offense to be able to carry them more, just being the healthier unit at this point. And they put up 3 points in the first half of the last two games and really have had no flow to the offense. So obviously I'm sure we'll get to it, but the passing game is just right now seems it's a concern. We'll say that. 9-for-30, you mentioned that. 126 total passing yards, only 4 catches by wide receivers in the game yesterday. That's not going to cut it against anybody, especially a team like Houston, who is one of the better teams in the AFC.
So how do we make things better? How do they make things better? I mean, I'm watching clip after clip from yesterday's game, Eric, and, you know, sure, you can pick apart Allen missing a throw here and there. I mean, he's not blameless in all of this, but, man, there's just a lot of guys not open. Is the way it looks to me, not to just completely absolve Allen of any, you know, of any responsibility for a 9-for-30 day. He certainly missed some throws, but man, they're having a tough time.
They are, and missing Khalil Shakir definitely hurt as well. And when Shakir was out of the lineup, it looked like Houston, who does play a good amount of man defense, is sixth most in the NFL heading into the game, but. You know, they copied a lot of what Baltimore did in bringing pressures or simulated pressures where you have 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage. You're not exactly sure who's rushing on the play. And then you play man defense behind it. And, yeah, you give up the long one to Coleman after you miss a tackle. But for the most part, you know, guys can't get open in time. And so until they're able to fix that, that's going to be the MO. That's what teams are going to do to this Bills offense. Don't give those little swing passes. Don't give them the screens. Make them beat you down the field. And let's make a bet that those guys can't get open in time. If they have five blockers, let's bring six rushers. And let's make a bet that they can't get open in time. And generally, when you have a free defender coming, it's hard for Josh to scramble as well. And so, you know, how do you combat that? You know, maybe rub routes. You know, obviously win outside. But if you're looking at this and saying, okay, we don't necessarily have guys at this point that are true separators, or and I'm just saying, you know, if that's the case, then schematically you got to try and help those guys out more.
Interesting. You know, last week, Eric, after the Baltimore loss, we started to get into conversations about Davante Adams and Amari Cooper, you know, whether the Bills would be a player. There was a report that the Bills inquired on Adams, at least. And I'm not asking you about cap stuff here, just like the idea of it. And my problem with the idea of it, and we may have talked about this, I'm not sure if we did, but is how contradictory it would seem to be to, like, kind of everything they built and set up. Everybody eats and all of that, having receivers that don't care about stats, etc. I wonder, though, if this game, a second in a row where they're just, I mean, there's one broken pass play and there's almost nothing else all day, makes you think the Bills might be like, well, we tried, it was a nice idea, but these are desperate times. I mean, how close are we to that kind of threshold here where you might think that the Bills would look outside?
I mean, I think they're going to look. I mean, I think these last 2 weeks, you know, we're evident that, you know, especially with Shakir getting dinged up in Baltimore and maybe not being as effective and then missing last game, it's like, okay, well, if he's out of the lineup, who do we rely on to get the ball to in a must-win situation? And so, you know, I think you got to do your homework and see what's available. And look, if the messaging changes and the wins come, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, okay, there's been defenses that had to flip their philosophy. Okay, we got to get a lot more aggressive. You know, that Bills defense last year had to get more creative at times because of a lack of a pass rush with Von Miller not coming back off the ACL and Greg Rousseau injured for a part of the season last year. Okay, well, let's get in some dime looks. Let's get creative about bringing Bernard or, you know, Taron Johnson off the slot. Let's kind of go outside of our normal MO. Now, you know, I don't think there was, you know, social media posts, you know, clamoring that style of defense. So I know exactly what you're saying on the offseason built around this. Everybody eats, and, you know, I think it still can be an effective system, but man, when you get down multiple scores, if you're not going to play efficient from the start, it becomes really difficult when you put yourself in obvious pass situations, and that's where they found themselves the last 2 weeks.
Eric, as you probably are aware, most of the conversation since this game ended has been about the sequence at the end of the fourth quarter where the Bills were pinned at their own 3-yard line and threw the ball three times, all incomplete, punted back to Houston, and ultimately lost on what was a 59-yard field goal by Fairbairn?
Yes.
What did you think as you're watching that unfold live? I won't lead you at all. It's like, what did you think when they came out throwing there?
Yeah, so, well, I'll start with the punt. So the punt goes down inside the five, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, we're in a world of hurt right here, because if you get a run-heavy set, they're expecting you to just try and waste their timeout. It's probably going to be pretty difficult to run the ball against them. You know, looking back, that's probably the decision. You know, the way it panned out, they call these pass plays. Now, maybe Joe Brady's calling them thinking, hey, if there's not something open past the sticks, maybe we check it down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Josh Allen standing in his own end zone, those decisions have to happen quick.
Right.
You know, you get sacked in the end zone, the game's over as well. So he's trying to make very quick decisions out there. Sometimes it's easy to watch the All-22 copy afterwards and say, man, look, Kincaid's open 4 yards down the field. That would have been nice to take and burn one of their timeouts. But it's almost like you either – run the ball three times or an obvious completion, or you go for it and get past the sticks. They put the ball in their best player's hands in Josh Allen, and it didn't work out. I mean, it's unfortunate. I see the criticism. You know, I'm not as strong as maybe like a Trey Wingo, who did a rant on X after the game talking about how it was the worst coaching decisions he's ever seen. I mean, you're putting the ball in your best player's hands, and just because they were throwing the ball didn't necessarily mean they're saying, I'm not playing for overtime. They had to try and get a first down to get to overtime because you're punting from back to up. So, obviously, looking back, you'd run the football. I respect the fact that, you know, Sean owned it after the game. He likely has a lot of faith in Joe Brady and let him make the decisions there, and maybe he wishes he would have stepped in that moment.
Recognizing that you, as far as I know, were never the guy with the green dot on the helmet. So communication with the coordinator. Because one question I have here, you know, 24 hours later, thinking back on that sequence, I was okay throwing. I think they, you know, it, to me, I'm not assuming they could have run it and either A, gotten a first down, or B, bled the clock out. I mean, they could have made Houston burn timeouts, but a 60-yard field goal still could have been the end result there after your punting if you can't pick up the first down running. So calling pass plays, like, what is the objective? Like, what do you have any familiarity on how specific instructions could get there? Like, could Brady be telling Allen, like, look, here are the routes. Like, here's the play call. Look for something underneath. We're not trying to go win the game here. We just need a first down, and then we're going to run it out and kick, and maybe there'll be, you know, 6 seconds left or something. I just wonder how specific a coordinator would get with a quarterback in that scenario.
Yeah, that's a great question. So likely before the series, you're having those conversations. You get 20 seconds in the quarterback's helmet. And so assuming it's a fairly simple play call, you could make you could give him a comment or two. But you really have to rush it with, you know, these play calls the way they are. But, you know, likely before the series, you're telling him, hey, if we're going to put the ball in your hands, you can't take a sack here. You really don't want to hold on the ball too long, because if we get a holding in the end zone, it's a safety as well. And so, you know, those are probably things discussed before the series, not necessarily in between plays.
You know, that was a great question.
Thank you.
You know, people say, not Eric necessarily, but, you know, it's the kind of thing where I've asked some terrible questions over the years, and the guests will be like, oh, that's a great question.
I probably asked Eric more terrible questions than good ones. I'll take the praise when I can get it.
Well, that's always been interesting to me, because you're right. I have never had the green dot on my helmet. And if you guys remember, like, the emergence of Jared Goff with Sean McVay, when everyone gave Sean McVay so much credit for, like, telling him coverages because they're running no-huddle offense and they're at the line of scrimmage, I'm thinking to myself, like, how sharp is Sean McVay? If he's on the sideline, because he's the head coach, he's also calling plays, is he really reading? I think they were giving Sean McVay a little too much credit in those instances, because I'm like, Sean McVay from field.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Level is able to read coverages, give him the play call, and coach him up within 20 seconds. It seemed a little far-fetched. Maybe he was saying, hey, your first read is Cooper Kupp here because he's likely going to be man-to-man against whoever. Or, hey, make Cooper Kupp the first read. Okay, that's fairly simple. But if they were giving him credit for maybe reading the coverages for him, outside of maybe a couple times a game, I found that kind of far-fetched.
Goff has kind of redeemed himself in the end, I think, with Detroit. I'll just want to say to you, Eric, my take on that sequence at the end is my problem is with second down. I mean, I'm fine throwing the ball. I do the same thing. You got to trust Allen, you know, almost in every situation. So they barely missed on first down, fine. The clip on second down, though, he's got multiple open options underneath, and whether he gets the message from Brady or not, I want him to know that. And instead, it's 50 air yards or prayer yards to Mac Hollins. Like, now you're in tough. Now you need third down, or else you're facing what you got. And I blame the quarterback on that play. I think he's experienced enough where he shouldn't need to be told what we're going for here. And I wonder too, Eric, if this isn't going too far. This was the kind of outcome yesterday where it sort of hit me that I never see Allen and McDermott talking to each other. And whether it's because McDermott is just sort of only on the defensive side or whatever it is, doesn't have to be a problem. But I wonder if you might have a thought on that.
No, I didn't like the second down decision either. And, man, I mean, you're putting myself in Josh's shoes. He's so competitive. He's so confident. He gets one-on-one coverage. It's Mac Hollins who hasn't made a play downfield for the Bills. I mean, he caught the one touchdown against Arizona, but that was cover zero. He catches a short route in the end zone, takes it in for a touchdown. Outside of that, he hasn't made a play down the field one time. Man, if that's a PI or if he can come down with that ball.
You win.
Like, exactly.
You're in business.
And
yeah.
I know what Josh is thinking, and it's not the right decision, but – you know what I mean?
Like, yep.
And I know I'm justifying a decision for him, but like in that split second, I know he wants it back, but in that split second, he's like, maybe this is the time that Mac comes down with one. Maybe Mac puts his left foot in the ground, goes back through the DB who has his back turned, and that's a PI 9 out of 10 times in the NFL.
Yeah, good point.
You know what I mean? You get the guy in trail position with no safety help, you get a lot of PIs in those situations, but they didn't connect, and obviously that sequence is hopefully it's not haunting them come January.
Good point. That is often, if not almost always, Allen's instinct in that, say, if you will, 50-50 kind of consideration. What am I going to do? I'm going for it. And I think we like that about him. Eric, do you have anything to add to the conversation about his injury and – whether you saw something on the sideline about, you know, to whatever extent he was examined, it did seem dubious, you know, that head injury cleared in like a minute. I don't know. I'm not naive to, like, I think maybe sometimes the rules are different for different guys, or if Allen just sort of forced his way back on. I don't know. I wasn't there, and the cameras aren't spending too much time on that.
So the cameras weren't spending a lot of time on it, but our box was opposite, pretty much straight across from the blue injury tent. So Josh immediately goes into the injury tent, and now here comes one of the Bills team doctors and then the red hat. So the independent neurologist goes in there. They spent some time in there. Then the independent neurologist and the doctor come out. It looked like they went over to maybe a monitor to review the play as well, which to me was probably Josh just passed the cognitive test, whatever that – I'd never done that in my career – he had passed the cognitive test in the injury tent. And so, okay, now let's just make sure that there's nothing obvious, like a Tua hand cringe, whatever it may be. And so They ended up clearing him. And I was telling my wife today, it was like a WWE scene because all the Bills fans were pretty much behind the Bills bench. And here comes Josh bursting out of the injury tent, goes and grabs his helmet, and it's just this roar in the stadium. To me, it almost looked more like a pro wrestling scene than it did a football game with him coming out of that tent. But, I hope he's all right. I mean, at first I was like, ooh, is that shoulder? It could be his head. But, you know, he took some shots again yesterday.
And today, Sean McDermott said he is not in the concussion protocol. He was evaluated, like you're saying, and then cleared to return. So I guess officially, anyway, that's the end of it. So
yeah, and at first he was kicking his feet. And so, like, a lot of times, like, if you get a concussion, you're not, like, moving around a bunch. He was, like, kicking his legs like he was in pain. So to me, it looked like he fell on his, like, right side, and maybe that was what had gone down.
Do you have any thoughts on how Curtis Samuel is going so far? Maybe the biggest surprise, I think, of all the struggles their passing game has had the last couple of weeks after, you know, really getting everything they really needed out of the first 3 weeks of the season with the 3-0 record, is just that Samuel, especially with Shakir out, was not... Just, I don't know, is featured too strong? I mean, I respect everybody eats and the effort they're making here, but man, Samuel, I thought the runway was cleared for takeoff for him yesterday, and again, what, one catch for 0 yards.
Yeah, that's probably been the most disappointing part of the offense for me this year, is the fact that he's got this speed, but he's not a downfield threat, which... You know, I remember prepping for the Commanders game with the Bills last year, and you were saying, okay, well, make sure Samuel doesn't take the top off the defense. And now we've pretty much given him everything behind the line of scrimmage, and whether he's not getting open at the second level, or it seems like his role is been the hardest for them to establish within this offense for a guy that they, you know, gave a pretty nice contract to, had a lot of confidence in, and he's also played – under Joe Brady before. It's not like you gave him a player and said, hey, try and fit him in. He was productive in Carolina when Joe Brady had him the last time. And so, to me, that's honestly been one of the most disappointing things about this offense, because I felt like he would have been one of the guys to eat in this system. And he's not doing anything right now, and that's not necessarily even a critique on him. Like, how do we maximize his skill set to get him going? Because speed, experience, playmaking ability in the past, seeing it done during an NFL game, like, that's all there. Okay, how do we get this dude going outside of, like, throwing him these swing passes and screens, which now teams are playing so tight to the line of scrimmage in those situations, like, those are going to get difficult mm-hmm. to even pull off until we start stretching them down the field.
Quick thought on the Jets, Eric, the Sunday morning game yesterday, and of course the Bills' next opponent a week from tonight, in certain ways that are similar to what we've been talking about, they look like they have their own problems.
They definitely do. And, you know, they just don't look sharp when I watch them. And I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know. That's having a quarterback that wasn't around for some of this offseason. I don't know exactly what's going on over there. They have a lot of talent again this year. And then obviously they make a move for Hassan Riddick, and he's not playing, who would be a really nice edge piece for them on their defense. But I don't know. To me, they just – yeah, there's a lot going on over there as well. And so both these teams are coming in. You know, I've read some stuff with the Jets this week, and their messaging as well is, hey, win this game. We're first place in the AFC East. We're back to 3-3. The Bills are, hey, let's get this one this week. We're first place in the AFC. We're 4-2. So you got two hungry teams coming in for Monday night.
Go figure. Rodgers looks like a 40-year-old. What you'd expect a 40-year-old might look like. You know, I've always thought for quite a few years, I would say, I think Tom Brady set an unrealistic standard for expectation for a 40-year-old quarterback. You know, he just managed to make it work. And Rodgers, he had a game earlier this year against New England that he moved around really well. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, maybe I was wrong and a little harsh here. But, man, the last couple of weeks, he looks every second of 40 years old.
Yeah, and you're talking about Tom Brady, who ate, slept, and breathed football, workout, nutrition. And, you know, you got a guy in Aaron Rodgers who's got interest outside of football. You know what I mean? Like, it's – I mean, that's
– mm-hmm. Nice way to say it.
So, yeah. And so, yeah. So, Tom – and that's not an indictment on Aaron. Most guys in the NFL do. Tom Brady just – I mean, he was a robot for probably the last 14 years of his career so that he could perform in his early 40s like he did.
So you're telling me you don't think Brady, like, went up to mountaintops to eat hallucinogenics during the offseason, probably?
For example.
Just a hypothetical.
Not unless it was, like, some type of, like, organic retreat with some type of, like, you know, special training deal that, you know, he's going to strengthen his core in a new way to elevate his game.
Right.
After the second pick yesterday, my friend Pat Daugherty had a funny tweet. He said, Aaron Rodgers is not leaving Europe.
He's going to stay.
Reportedly, he has, but, you know, it's seemed possible. Okay. Thanks, Eric. We will talk to you again on the pregame show in a week.
Yep, sounds so good. Looking forward to it, guys.
All right, there you go. That's our man Eric Wood on the West Her Hotline. His weekly appearances with us here on WGR are brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
We'll look for your calls again next. Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.